Hello, welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 106. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And perhaps in the background you'll hear Rampage make random comments.
What?
Exactly.
So, we honestly haven't done a whole lot in the 2 weeks since we last recorded.
One thing was Easter intervened, and that usually means family time, instead of too much, singing too much.
That's only for those that are in the church choir.
Oh god. Three services, guys. Do not sign up for this.
But you'll do it again next year.
Maybe. I'm trying to decide. I'm like, oh, it's fun. But sometimes it's a lot of commitment.
Well, basically, half your day goes to singing.
Well, yeah, then, I ended up sleeping the other half, practically.
Yeah.
Went to my parents' house, ate lasagna, and then took like a 2-ish hour nap or something. I don't know.
It was at least an hour. And you don't nap, so.
Not usually.
It's probably partially my fault for taking you guys for going out with you guys the night before.
And then I stayed up late the night before that. I'm not 20 anymore.
Anywho, so, what we have done, we found interesting at least. And we'll go ahead and start with the Star Wars related stuffs. Mm-hmm. First of all, Star Wars: The Old Republic patch 1.2 launched this past week. And with it, they introduced more on the legacy system. Now, in the previous versions of the game, they had the legacy system kind of in there. You could give all your characters basically one unified last name. But now you can actually do something with it. For example, once I finally start an alt, they will be able to have my bounty hunter's buffs along with their buffs. So it makes them a little more ability. And then once I finish Act 3 of my Bounty Hunter's main story mission, when I activate what's called a heroic moment, they'll have the flamethrower ability from my Bounty Hunter, even though they're going to be a Sith Inquisitor. So it's something that's going to be kind of interesting. It's going to give you a little more utility, and also it gives you a reason
to make alternate characters to try them out, because you get a little bit of a boost for doing it.
Exactly. It's not like you're abandoning your character, like, okay, I'm starting a new character, my old character doesn't matter anymore. Your old characters still benefit your new characters. It also allows you to do stuff, say, for example, you had a pureblood Sith on a Imperial character. Once you finish so far of his game, since he's now part of your lineage, if you go to start a Republic character, you could use a pureblood Sith in the Republic.
That's odd.
So it basically allows you to unlock races that would normally not be available to other classes or, factions entirely. Because, this person's here because they're so-and-so's child or something related. So when you name your legacy, make sure you like it, because you can't change it afterwards. It's got to be something important to you or something you can live with.
And then I've also House Pinkie Pie.
Somebody, I remember when I
no,
first...
No! No! No!
When I first...
What's that? No!
When I first signed on to us, I just remember somebody saying, they were wondering, can they change their legacy? Because they named it Thundercats.
What's that? You name your main character Calcifer, like our cat here, and it's Calcifer of Thundercats. That's good,
huh,
bud? Yeah.
Anywho, and then also I noticed, and I haven't gotten far enough to do this, but if you complete all the quests and of your companions, you'll get bonuses for having completed that now, thanks to the legacy system. For example, once I complete all of Mako's quests, I'll get a healing bonus from having her stuff completed. And then, so yeah, that's most of what I did with patch 1.2. There were also some battlegrounds and some new flashpoints. I think they're basically stands for an instance. I haven't done any of those because I'm just trying to burn my way to level 50 so I get my free month. Because you have to get to level 50 by, I think, the 23rd, and they're going to give anybody at level 50 a free month of gameplay.
Well, that's a good incentive to...
What level are you?
45.
That's not too bad then.
No.
So it's either... He has a week. He has a week to gain 5 more levels.
I've gained 3 levels in the past 2 days.
How much are you playing?
I'm doing a lot of the entire quest stuff, and I have a crap load of rest experience still. So a few hours a day. But it's fun. I'm enjoying myself. I'm still enjoying the story. Typically, my bounty hunter, unless he was paid to, I won't choose the option to kill somebody. And then...
That costs a fee.
That's actually pretty much what it is. It's like
we you need didn't you... pay me to kill him.
It's like we need you to do this. Okay. So how much are you going to pay me? And usually the answer is, we'll pay you lots of credits. Then I get the credits and I'm thinking,
That's not a lot.
I thought it was going to be. It's like, you got 5,000 credits. I have 300,000 credits. That's not that many. But it's entertaining. And I recently got through the part where I had to use a character called Scotch because of the story in it. And I just don't like the guy. He's a dick. Well, he's basically he's a felon that the only reason he's free is the Imperials broke into, landed on this prison planet and started releasing prisoners in order to screw with the Republic. So, yeah, and then he ends up being one of your companions. I'm probably going to have to buy lots of gifts to get his affection rating up with me. Because I don't necessarily, because he's like, he likes ruthlessness, he doesn't like people backing down, stuff like that. I'm not a ruthless bounty hunter. And then I like the little, I get a Jawa also, a Jawa companion as well. Which brought up a pretty funny thing. It's like I'm flying to a Imperial Star Destroyer after being named the number one wanted person by the Republic. And the Imperials are like, well, they might disown us, and in order to temporarily keep relations with the Republic. So I'm flying to this Imperial Star Destroyer, and they're like, okay, let's put up shields. Then Blizzard's like, great, we can test out the new modifications on the shields. My character's response. Did we have something updated on the shields? No, not that I know of. Oh, I need some modifications! Which is like, the moment I brought the Jawa on board, I'm like, he's gonna mess with so much shit on this ship. But he's an entertaining character, and I'm still enjoying the game, which is important after 4 months?
December? Yeah.
Yeah, about 4 months. Then let's see. Moving on from video games to real world, if you're in the Denver area, on May 4th, which is Star Wars Day. Yeah, May the 4th be with you.
I forgot that from last year.
At the Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum at 7711 East Academy Boulevard here in Denver, they're actually going to have a Star Wars event. They're going to have an X-Wing that was signed by Harrison Ford and members of the cast that people can climb into. They're going to train at the Jedi Light. They're going to have training for Jedi Lightsaber Academy. And you'll be able to walk away with your own foam lightsaber. That thing will last about 30 minutes. You can also attend trooper training school with stormtroopers. They say with real stormtroopers, but yeah. And then you're also going to be able to create your own Ewoks and Wookiees in the Galactic Zoology Nursery. And you can visit the activity area and bring your own comic and character to life. So, we were talking about this a little bit before we started our official recording. And we were questioning which one of these is for kids and which one of these are for adults. Now, the bottom two might seem obvious, but I've met some geeks. They would still find the bottom two pretty entertaining regardless. I mean, the top three, pretty obvious. That could be child or adult. So if you do want to go, it is from 4 to 8 on May 4th, and it's going to be $11 for adults, $6 for children, under 4 are free, and seniors and active military or veterans get in for $9, so hopefully we'll see you out there.
Are you going?
I'm going to try to. I would like to be able to go down and take pictures and put it on the blog. I think it would be cool. Mm-hmm. Plus it's an X-Wing.
You're like, come on, X-Wing!
This is a perfectly valid point.
And
there's a part of me that I want to take Calcifer with me, so I can get a picture of me in the cockpit and Calcifer in the astromech slot. It'd be great.
How long do you think he'd stay there?
Long enough for a quick picture. We put a leash on him and tie it into the chip.
Or beat him with kitten treats.
So that's all I have right now that's really Star Wars related. You guys got anything you want to add before we move on? Or anything you want to talk about before we move on to spoiler-filled sections? Guess not.
No.
You seem to be rather indecisive about that. So
we're racking our brains to think of something.
I'll move on to the spoiler-filled section. So, caution, if you haven't beat Mass Effect 3, or if you've managed to avoid the, and you've managed to avoid all, every single internet complaint over the past, what would you say, month?
Month.
You might want to skip this section. Otherwise, you've already heard all this. So, there's been a lot of controversy over how the game ended. And the main thing is, people are saying that Mass Effect 3's ending did not actually take all your choices into effect. Which is kind of mostly true. I mean, there's no real explanation for why certain things are happening during the ending. After you choose red, blue, or green, yes, each ending has its own different color for those that don't know. Red is the destruction of all machines, blue is controlling the Reapers, and green is combining synthetic and organic beings into synthetic organic beings. Wow, that sounds really stupid when I say it that way.
Synthetically organic. How are we doing this?
Basically, when they show the Normandy crew after it's all said and done, they have circuit boards all running through their skin, or circuit board patterns. And their eyes are all funky and technological looking.
I guess this is one of the options you picked?
Yes. And you actually only get this option if you have so many war resources ready from the game. Because, like, one of my coworkers and Tigerhawk did not have this third option when they finished the game. So, basically what people's complaint is, okay, why is the Normandy shooting away at hyperspace or through like a mass relay or something when this explosion happens that causes these changes you chose? And what the hell happens to the rest of the galaxy afterwards? You see what happens to the Normandy crew? They crash land on this planet. It doesn't seem to matter who you had with you on the final mission, because anybody can walk out of the Normandy, so you have no clue how your teammates got back to the ship. And you have no clue how the rest of the galaxy is faring after your decision. So, for example, if you decided to destroy all advanced technology, how is the rest of the galaxy getting on without the technology they've become reliant on? If you chose to take control... Question?
How are you going to destroy all the advanced technology in the entire universe?
Basically...
Okay. I mean, if it was magical, I could totally understand that. But science, like, sci-fi-wise, how does that work?
Well, see, in Mass Effect, they all use apples. And so they just execute the, you know, command code to destroy all iPhones.
Well, what happened was they combined in what's called the Crucible, which has been the entire game working, with the Citadel, which is an ancient space station used in order to... It's usually the seat of government for whatever cycle of 50,000 years you're on. So when you get there, when you combine those and you make the choice, the Crucible sends out a energy wave, basically.
Okay, to the nearest... we send out like an
enormous EMP, basically.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
Okay, that makes more sense.
That goes through to the Mass Effect relay. The Mass Effect relay explodes and sends its signal out to the other relays. And that blankets the entire galaxy in this explosion that takes out all advanced technology. The other option was to control the Reapers, which were trying to destroy all advanced races. Not all organics, just advanced races. So, that one, again, sends out the wave, blows up the mass relay. So again, nobody has any way to get around the galaxy. The main advantage of this ending is the Citadel doesn't get blown up. And then Shepard, basically, who is now a giant computer god, I guess, is there? You could confirm him? Does that sound good, Rampage? He has control of the Reapers galaxy-wide, so at least he can use the Reapers to rebuild the Mass Effect relay so for people to get around. And then if you do a synthesis, you send out a green wave which merges synthetic and organics. And I honestly still don't have any clear clue how that worked. We're just going to go with the science fiction fact... They said it does. What people's complaints with this was, one, the person that gives you this option is what some people refer to as Star Child.
Space baby.
It is basically, throughout the game, Shepard is haunted by this little boy he could not save on Earth. So when you finally get to this point, the being that is the Citadel takes the form of this Star Child in order to converse with you. Probably could have gone a bit more adult here, but I understand why they did it that way, but a lot of people are pissed off about using the kid.
Well, it's probably... if it's, I guess I can see it, because if it's something that truly, really super impacted Shepard, and that's, you know, it probably has made, you know, a huge emotional impact on him, and depending if that's the first thing Citadel, you know, the thing encounters, they're like, there's this being here that has big emotional impact on this other being. If I take that form, at least he might be more sympathetic to what it says as well. I don't know. Why can't it be a kid?
Hey, I didn't say I was finding anything wrong with it. I was saying other people did.
Yeah, I just...
And then, so basically what BioWare did is they listened to people's complaints, and this summer what they're doing is they're creating new cinematics in order to add to each ending to explain what happened to the rest of the galaxy. And these cinematics will have your choices affected in them, or at least I hope they do. For example, in my game, I actually cured the Krogan from what's called the Genophage, which causes 1 in 1,000 deaths at birth. Basically, 1 in 1,000 kids, or only 1 in 1,000 kids are born alive. The other 999 are stillborn. Keeping in mind that a fertile Krogan female can birth those 1,000 in less than a month. The Krogan have a very high reproduction rate. My Krogan had both Rex and Eve, which is the Krogan female, running them. So they actually have hope for being a good race now instead of starting another war, which caused the first Genophage to be placed. However, my co-worker and Tigerhawk didn't have Eve, and they didn't have Rex. They have, the person they have running the Krogan is a bloodthirsty warlord, basically. So they did not cure the Genophage, although he doesn't know this, because he's too stupid to figure it out on his own. And of course, the first thing they get after they leave the Krogan homeworld after not curing him is a message saying, it's like, hey, thanks for curing the Genophage. Just so you know, after the Reaper threat is over, we'll save humanity for last. So they rightfully did not cure them. So it'll be interesting to see the differences in that. In their endings, when they saved the Quarian homeworld, they saved the Quarian chick, Tali. Tigerhawk did not play Mass Effect 2 or have his, or he played it, but he didn't have his game in there. So he could not save both Legion and Tali. And my coworker played Renegade, so he could not save both Legion and Tali. I, however, had my game saved in there, and I had played Paragon, so I was able to save both of them, and had both species cohabitating on one world after a 300-year-long war between the two. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So, I'm looking forward to the cinema. I will definitely look at the endings again after that. I think Rampage here plans on hopefully maybe finishing the game by the time that comes out.
Yeah, maybe.
And, yeah, that's about all I have. I'm done rambling now for a little bit. Starfest is next week.
Yes, Starfest and Comic Fest. Comic Fest is a subset of Starfest.
So make sure you head down there. We do have a friend that is going to be has an artist table there.
Yeah, apparently Comic Fest is pretty good for tables. It's only $25 for the weekend.
Nice.
And so everybody gets their own table. So there's that, large...
Well, we have several comic friends that are down there.
That so will be there.
Make sure you go down there, check them out. If you support can, purchase them. Something from them.
Purchase something. I mean, they have stuff that's just for a dollar, even. Buttons.
So it's worth your time to go down there, check it out. And it's Starfest. What other excuse do you need?
I'll probably be going down Saturday. So.
Whee! I feel very ungeeky. I haven't played, any games.
What art geek stuff have you done?
I've been just doing lots of Bridgman studies of figure drawing. And that's about it. Though everybody keeps telling me that I need to do more Shrinky Dinks.
That's because people like your Shrinky Dinks.
Wait. You can make Shrinky Dinks?
Yeah, I mean, all I have to do is just buy the blank plastic, and I draw designs, and then I trace it on there, color them, and then bake them.
Did you never see her Pac-Man Shrinky Dink?
My mind has been blown.
I had to repair one of my friends. I made her, the Tanuki. He ended up breaking, because his tail broke off. Because I had the way I had it cut out from the rest of him, so it was basically a part on its own. And I'm like, oh, that means it's structurally weak. So I had to redo it, and this time I left the plastic in between his tail. And when you cook it, it's clear anyways, so you're not going to notice it so much. And hopefully he is more structurally integrity, you know, has more structural integrity now.
Fingers crossed.
I told Angie, I'm like, just see how it goes. If it breaks again, let me know. You're kind of like my test subject here to see how durable these things are.
And Milo and Geeky Things has been planning D&D, mainly. Just keeping the game going.
That's what you do on art nights. You do D&D, I do art. It works out pretty well. Their kitten is crinkly.
Yes, he is. So much for Stealth Kitten.
Mostly stealthy.
So I think that's going to kind of be all for today. We have been trying to do posts still, you know, in addition to the podcast. We've been writing a few blog entries on the site. Go ahead and give them a look over. Let me know what you think. Post your opinions on them, because usually I leave these kind of as open-ended for people to comment. In the meantime, go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com, where you can find our store. You can find a Twitter feed for myself, Proteus, and the official Gameslave Twitter, as well as a link to our Facebook page. In the meantime, everybody have a great week. It's a possibility we might miss next week again due to outstanding circumstances, such as a weekend convention, and us not being able to all get in one spot. In the meantime, game on.
Game on.
Game on.